Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without further ado, I want to invite For Color Nerds. We're thrilled to have them here, and thank you all for coming out in the rain. Yay.
We appreciate y'all rocking.
We really appreciate you guys coming to this, because you really didn't have to.
But to jump into it, this is the conversations that black people have.
When white people are not in the room.
But we record them.
And we put them on the internet.
We're going to be talking to some awesome people. We'll be talking to New York Times Magazine staff writer and co-host of the awesome podcast, Still Processing, the fabulous Jenna Wortham.
Yay! And then we are going to chat with the author of the wonderful book, The Star Side of Bird Hill, the amazing Naomi Jackson. And Naomi will be joined by the creator of the Well-Read Black Girl Book Club and overall books aficionado, Miss Glory Edom.
Yes, give a shout out.
So our first guest is, as we said, a staff writer for New York Times Magazine, co-host of the podcast Still Processing, and the author of the greatest holistic health newsletter in circulation, Jenna Wortham. Jenna, welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This
is a
dream come true.
Yes. Oh my God.
I'm so hyped.
This is our dream come true. This is a total pleasure. So you're a tech writer.
Yes.
And you have been for a while. You're like an OG tech writer. And one thing that sticks out about your tech writing is that you seem to like embrace like how connected people are to technology. Like you're very, like you're healthily skeptical about certain things, but you also are just really interested in the way that people use technology to make their lives easier and also to sometimes even connect with each other. And you know, you have this like genuine affection for technology. Like one time in an interview, I heard you say that you cared about the health of the internet. But you also like, you have this like phenomenal natural wellness email newsletter. All of you need to be subscribing. Like it's all about everything, fermentation and formation. And you're like really good about moon cycles and crystals and tonic recipes and acupuncture. Like, how do you reconcile those two viewpoints, like the tech person and the natural goddess?
I'm so happy you mentioned that. I forgot to bring my crystal with me. I got a new crystal yesterday, and I wanted to carry it around all day today, and I forgot, and I'm a little sad about it. This is a really good question. I think for me, I really love the internet, and now I'm at a point in my career where I'm really trying to interrogate some of the hierarchies and the power structures that are in place, and why less than 15 out of like all the money that was invested in companies last year, there were fewer than 15 investments made in black women-owned companies or run companies. Like these things are not, you know, they don't occur out of thin air. So like a lot of that work, and a lot of that work is really important, but it's really depressing also. And I started to have just a lot of anxiety, and also around the election, like all the push notifications. Like technology, I love technology, but it also makes me very anxious. So I think I had to figure out how to balance that. And so the other side of that for me was starting to get into wellness and starting to get into thinking about a lot of holistic stuff and what I could do to take care of myself. And part of it too is I kept going to doctors. I kept going to a lot of white doctors and being like, I'm just really anxious. I feel really vulnerable. I feel really exposed. And they'd be like, exercise more. And I'd be like, I exercise almost every day. Like, and I live in New York. That's so much. I walk all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. So I had to start thinking more about how to figure it out for myself. And a big part of that was like tinctures and teas and meditation and all the stuff I do put in my newsletter.
Do you feel like sometimes maybe like those two viewpoints can go hand in hand, like tech and like wellness?
Oh yeah, definitely. I was doing some research into online harassment and why it's still so pervasive online, and I came across this project called, I think it's called Jigsaw by Google, and there, this is what I started to see some of the overlap, and there was a moment where I was like, oh, the stars are aligning, like all the things I'm interested in are coming together. But they're doing this project where they're trying to assess the toxicity level of a comment section or like a forum, like there, and it's like a complex mess of algorithms, and it's not sponsored anything, so I don't know how good it is, but I think just seeing, understanding that engineers were starting to think about toxicity levels and the way we think about how much lead can be in water or whatever. There shouldn't be any. But, you know, we have all these metrics for what we think of as how when the environment is in good health and when it's in bad health. Mm-hmm. And that tech companies were starting to assess that in their own environments was really interesting to me and kind of made me start thinking about, like, yeah, there is a reason my blood pressure goes up when I get a push notification. There is a reason, like, I can't sleep if I'm reading the news. You know, it's like there is a relationship between the devices that we use and the environments that we're in all the time and our health. We just don't really know it yet. You know, it's like that research is still coming out.
Do you have a tip, if you could offer one tip to everybody sitting here today, who's probably like, by the time everybody gets home tonight, everybody's going to be like a little cold, a little nippy, a little agitated. Do you have a tip, like a wellness tip for everybody?
Yes, I do. So lately I've been really into, actually Glory was, we were emailing about this recently, but I've been really into using essential oils in the home. And a really easy thing to do is just to, I mean, they sell it at every bodega in New York City. Like, you can literally leave and get some today. But just getting a little bit of like orange essential oil. And sometimes I'll just like sprinkle a little on the blanket that I use to curl up in on my couch or like on my bedspread, or even I'll put a little bit in a water bottle and just like diffuse it in the air. Mm-hmm. It's a really cheap way to like feel refreshed and like get a little bit of a boost. And people use lavender for that too. But orange, I think there's a study coming out, or it already came out, that orange is shown to actually reduce symptoms associated with PTSD. So that there is starting to be research that these holistic health methods can actually, like, it's not just like, you know,
it's not just
placebo effect. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
So one of our favorite pieces of yours is kind of your profile of the late Miss Cleo. And no, seriously, it was like this clever, like, but also unexpectedly moving, you know, portrait of somebody who at that point, like, I'm sad to say, I hadn't really thought about, you know, in a long time. It's been a while since he was on like TV late night, those commercials. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, like, what made you decide to eulogize her?
Mm-hmm. So that piece was for our last issue of Every Year, which is called The Lives They Lived. And it's like a death yearbook, but it's also a really beautiful way to commemorate people who've passed. And the way that they organize it is they send a link around with all the obituaries from the New York Times, just so we have a list, although you're allowed to go beyond that because the Times doesn't cover everyone who's passed. But I was going through the list and I was like, I know I should pick like Asada Shakur. Like, I know I should pick someone who's just like, you know, like, yeah. I know I should pick like the, I don't know, Muhammad Ali. I should throw my name in for that one. But then I saw Miss Cleo's name and I was like, I'm going to write about Miss Cleo because she to me represented so much of what I love about the internet, which is that she was like, you only really knew about her if you were at home, like, up late at night watching TV, and her memory lives on in the ways that she's been captured and like commemorated online through GIFs and like YouTube clips. So I feel like there was a point in time where you only knew about Miss Cleo if you were like, have you ever seen these commercials? Yeah. She says she's Jamaican, but I don't know. People call in, you know, and it's just something was really like the way that she was able to be celebrated and have this like second life after that career ended because people online were just like sharing her image and stuff was really special to me. And also now, if Miss Cleo came out today,
we need Miss Cleo.
We do need her.
We need Miss Cleo.
We need her. But immediately people would be like, nah, like, she's not real. She's a scammer. Like, we would know right away. And I just miss the time where, and I love that we live in that. Like, I love that too. But I also kind of just miss that mystery and like this moment of just, you know, there was, you could create a persona. Like, I wrote in the piece, I was like, she was doing the Kardashians before the Kardashians were the Kardashians. Like, she branded herself. She built an empire. She was villainized for it. And then she moved to Florida and lived on a beach. I mean, it's like, Miss Cleo, you know.
Yeah. So. And it's also funny because, like, I feel like now, like, culture, like, there's this kind of, like, you're either the scammer everybody loves or the scammer everybody hates, you know? But, like, hindsight, like, I actually, like, I have a lot of respect. I mean, she had a real hustle, and, like, she was out there doing it. And, you know, I think there's something to be celebrated about that, for
sure. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I don't like to pit black people against each other. But I would say, Miss Cleo over Dionne Warwick's Psychic Friends Network.
You don't have to choose. I'm just here to tell you. You don't have to choose.
Everybody's in the club.
We live in a world where you can love them both. I promise.
Yeah. It's a good hustle, though. I think, like, psychic readings is a good hustle. Because, like, I mean, you. We're going to get to this in a second. I do believe in the Zodiac.
Oh, girl, yes.
Yeah.
Have to say it like that.
I mean, just judging, looking around, I probably 86% of us believe in the Zodiac.
It's probably higher, real
what's
fast.
That? Yeah, I was going to say, and 92% of you are, like, probably disturbed that I'm a Scorpio, but it is what it
Wait,
is.
Wait, you know I'm a Scorpio, too, though.
Yes, you are a Scorpio. See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Together, this is scary.
Taurus love.
That actually brings me to our next question. So we both really love Still Processing. If you haven't heard this podcast, go listen. It's Jenna and also her co-host, Wesley Morris, who is an amazing writer who writes for the New York Times, New York Times Magazine. And they have these really great conversations about, like, pop culture and what's going on in the media and tech and just, like, the world. And they just keep you plugged in and connected and, like, together. And so on a recent episode, you guys were talking about Kendrick Lamar's new album.
He's a Gemini. He's having his Saturn return.
This is what we're about to
we
talk about.
In. You we literally
this is
in
what
on
we're
it.
About to talk about.
I almost lost the eye.
So
right
I'm gonna
saying,
help.
Like.
Look, you're about to get this education. You need to get your priorities straight. So yes, so like you guys, sometimes you guys teach each other something, and you taught Wesley about the Saturn return. And for those of you who do not know, okay, so like Saturn's positioning when you're born, everyone's looking at me like. Okay. Saturn's positioning when you're born, okay? Like, it doesn't come back around to that same position until you're about 29 and a half years old, which I am basically right now. I'm in the middle of my Saturn return. And a lot of, like, really important cosmic things happen in your life. It only happens every 29 and a half years. So, like, 29, 58, and 84, you know what I'm saying, Lord willing. And so I talked to Eric about this at work. And no matter how many times I explain to him what a Saturn's return is, you are still skeptical.
I mean, I get it, I hear what you're saying, but I also just wonder, is like the planet really doing that to me? Like, why the planet, like
it's all about the tides and the moon, like it's all connected.
But can the planet affect my taxes or something? Can I get like a higher return? Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you can clear it up. But like, I mean,
we need Miss Cleo
to
like turn it around.
Can you convince Eric of just the magic of the Saturn return?
Yes, there's some science actually, and I'm trying to recall, as you were talking, I was a science major in college. That's why I'm always like, what are the facts? The facts aren't real, but are there facts? Because if they are, I'm gonna use them. There is some science though about people born at the people. Oh gosh, I'll find it. I'm gonna send it to you guys so you can use it. But there was some research about people born at the same time of the year getting some sort of same condition. I don't know. There is some evidence that people born at the same time of the year, can exhibit some of the same characteristics. But I will say when I was going through that, I was like, I like put my, like shoved my glasses up and was like, so according to Wikipedia, Kendrick Lamar was born at 5 p.m. you know, whatever. And everyone was, they're like, we're not going to make you look totally crazy. We're going to like, and I was like, that part is really important, but I trust your judgment. Guys, but it was funny because at the moment, like, everyone just kind of is used to me doing my, getting into my, like, zone where I'm like, I actually have my tarot cards with me. Can I put my crystal ball on the table? Do you mind? Just for ambiance, you know.
If I say tarot is another one you've been trying to get me.
Yes, yes, yes. I have a very dear friend who's very talented, a talented black woman who reads her tarot and black liberation theory, because, like, who else would I know? And who else would I trust to read my tarot? And it's very powerful.
Yes.
And, I mean, during your Saturn return, you had something, like, extremely important happen.
Yeah, I mean, we had a baby.
But... Right.
But, I mean, that was set in motion right before the planets came around. I feel like no, there's some prep work there.
The thing
you know,
is,
like...
though, is it can start as early as 27. Like, okay. Like the universe knows. But thank you, Jenna, for giving us some science.
Hopefully I'm going to find that link. I'm going to find that link.
Yeah, find that link because Eric needs to be
saved. I'm going to find that link for you, Eric.
Yeah. All right. We'll see. So the last thing that I want to ask you about is a couple years back, you and Amina from Call Your Girlfriend, another great podcast.
Yes.
If you're not listening to that, you get your life.
Yes.
So like, check out Call Your Girlfriend, and you and Amina worked on this idea for Bloop.
Yes.
And Bloop was a black version of blogs like Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop. And so you published this really good gift guide that was like fun and funny. And to be straight up, it was like actually a much better version of the stuff that comes out on Goop. No shade, but facts are facts. One, like, how did you two come up with that idea? And two, when is it coming back?
Yes.
R.I.P. Goop. I mean, Bloop. No, we want to bring it back. It's just very time consuming. And it was also, we both have a million side projects, but we actually did just start a text message thread about it yesterday. Like, I was like, girl, we got to bring this back because I got ideas. I got things I want to tell people to buy. People, mm-hmm. We out here. But the idea for Bloop came out of a text exchange with a bunch of bougie-ass black people. And we were like, y'all out here making Bloop, like black goop every day. And then we just kept saying it because they would be like, one, I'm not going to expose who's on this list, but someone would just like selfie themselves on a yacht. And I'd be like, what's going on? What y'all doing? And they'd be like, well, just like show us what you bought recently. And of course it would be like a bundle of herbs, you know, or like some sage or some incense, you know. But we were just like constantly posting like pictures of shoes or whatever. And it was really fun. Like it was just this hilarious thing. And it kind of became this competition to be like, and then we were like this, but they do this all the time. Like Neiman Marcus tried to sell collard greens for $80. Like we need, like it was too much. The other day someone sent me a link to something on Goop, and it was a vitamin, like an assortment of vitamins for like $100. And I was like, girl, I'm gonna make you a cart on Amazon right now for $10. Like, you don't have to pay $100 for some vitamins. But it was just a joke, and it was very fun. But I had a feeling about it, like I felt a way about it, because I don't want to tell people buy things to feel better. Like, I'm actually not that's not really the camp that I'm in. I don't want to be like, spend all your money on things, you know. But it was really fun because we were able to support other makers we like. There's so many black creatives. There's so many black women who are making things, books, playlists, you know. It's just like we wanted to just put shine on people, and that was a big part of it. And it was really fun. And then we got an email. I forget who emailed us, but somebody in the Gwyneth camp emailed us, and they were like, we love Bloop. And we were like, oh shit, we're gonna get acquired. And then nothing happened. We were like, we're about to actually be Bloop, like for real. And then we just dropped it. So it'll come back. Yeah,
I'm ready. It needs to come back. I mean, you know, it's summertime's coming. I need to know how to step my game up.
Right. Yeah. I'm here for you.
I mean, if I may give a suggestion, I'm really into linen right now. I wonder if there's like a way that I could have a linen pantsuit. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if y'all could put that in the Bloop newsletter.
I got
like,
you. I'm your personal Bloop shopper. I'm going to text you some links. I'm going to Google this later.
We're building.
It's hard to picture linen on this particular day, but, like, I can see where it's coming. Linen season is coming.
I have some on under my jacket because I was optimistic, and it didn't work out. Well, Jenna, this is all the time we have for you today.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Round of applause to Jenna.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right. Are we all set?
All right.
All right.
All right.
So our next guests are also women who have a way with words. One is the author of a novel called The Star Side of Bird Hill, which has been reviewed and heralded by the New York Times, NPR, The New Yorker, and Entertainment Weekly. It's also been nominated for more awards than we really have time to name here today. So joining her will be the creator of Well-Read Black Girl, a book club that's dedicated to the phenomenal black women on our bookshelves. It also unites black women readers and their favorite authors. Please welcome to the stage,
yes,
Naomi Jackson and Glory Edom. Welcome.
Thank you. Okay, so my first question is for Glory. So Glory, I've actually known you for a few years. We have share the same alma mater, Howard University.
Yes. HU.
HU. Whoop whoop. But I actually do not know, like I still don't know, what inspired you to start Well-Read Black Girl?
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful, very selfish story. Like I literally was looking to like build and make friends in New York. And I was like, oh, I'm going to like start a book club. It's going to be small and quaint. It'll be like six people. It would not be this Instagram thing that it is now. And part of it was I wanted to meet authors in person. So I actually was at the Greenlight Bookstore, and I met Naomi. And I was like, I really love your book. Would you come to my book club? Thinking she would say no. And she said yes. And, you know, the rest is history. So the idea was really to get a group of women together to talk and to connect. But I didn't have this, like, grand overarching plan on how it was going to manifest and grow. It was just necessarily, like, I'm going to start a book club. And I've had a book club since I was 8. So it wasn't really, like, something super unique. It was just, like, okay, I'll do something different in New York to kind of pull people together.
So, Naomi, in the Star Side of Bird Hill, two sisters, Dion and Phaedra, they're sent from Brooklyn to Barbados to stay with their grandmother. And in the book, like, you see Dion and Phaedra really, like, really struggle to integrate into this kind of, like, traditional religious community of Bird Hill. But you also see their grandmother really kind of struggle with her, like, new role as their primary caretaker. I think, like, when I was reading it, I was thinking, like, it could have been really easy to make the grandmother in that situation, this, like, all-knowing, all-seeing, like, can-do-no-wrong elderly figure. But you really made a point of, like, just pointing out that she was someone who is human and had, like, and made mistakes and, you know, she had missteps. I'm curious how you approached creating these, like, very different yet similar journeys of, like, you know, Dion and Phaedra trying to, you know, work that relationship out with their community and also their grandmother, like, trying to like evolve into this new role.
Cool. Thanks so much for that smart question.
So, anytime.
Samuel Delaney says that the best gift that you can give a writer is the gift of intelligent attention. So I always appreciate it. So it's kind of a coming of age story of these two girls. They're 10 and 16, but also the grandma's coming of age too, because she's moving out of being a caregiver to her daughter, and now suddenly she has these two grandchildren. And so what I understood is that that's not a small thing. As many black women who are grandmothers who then become kind of second parents again, maybe 20 years after they had their first set of children, I knew that that was a difficult transition. And I have the gift of having a mother, a stepmother, and three grandmothers. One of them has since passed on, may she rest in peace, but they were all really fierce women. And none of them were doormats. None of them were all-knowing and all-seeing. Every single them, one of them is troublesome in their own way. And so, like, they're, you know, one of them is super whiny, and, like, she has to, like, kind of cuss you out every time you call, even if you call every single day. You know, there's one who loves all her grandchildren and would like lay down her life for anything that you wanted, which is problematic in its own way. And the other one is like super aggressive. Like I remember we were trying to check her into a nursing home, which she then got like kicked out of. I remember in the like intake interview, they were like, are you aggressive? She was like, absolutely, I'm aggressive. And it's kind of funny because that's like totally me. And so I wanted to create a grandmother character who was real and kind of a composite of the grandmothers who I knew who were fierce and never laid down for anybody. And also like a grandmother who had sex, who had been in love, who had kind of resisted a spiritual calling and tried to push away her destiny, someone who was complicated. I didn't want to create somebody who was like an oracle, and I didn't want to flatten out the grandmother character. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So the Star Side of Bird Hill was, Glory, that was the first book that you picked for your book club.
Yeah.
I want to know, why was, like, what about Naomi's book made you want to start there?
Yeah.
And also, like, how do you even choose what? Because now, like, the community has grown. Like, you have, like, yeah, dozens and dozens of women that show up every month.
Folks, I see some book club people here.
Shout out.
Like, how do you choose what everybody reads? And why did you decide to start with Naomi's book?
Yeah, well, I think when I was first starting, it was really like a gut check. If I really laughed out loud, if I cried, if I was, like, you know, on the subway and suddenly, like, looked up, if it made me feel something. I'm very intuitive when it comes to when I'm reading something. It has to really hit me in, my like, my heart and my gut. And with Naomi's book, the fact that it was centered on two young women that were based in Brooklyn, a space where I'm not originally from New York. I'm from D.C., and I've made New York my home. And it was something about reading the story felt super authentic and real, and I related in such a beautiful way that, like, when I met her, I was, like, super starstruck. I seriously was. I was like, will you be my friend? You know? I was just really taken about how often I cry just, like, reading the woman's story and, like just feeling that connection to the story that I immediately wanted to make it our first book because I felt other Black women would feel that. It would resonate with them just as strongly. And the way I do it is I just put new, I always focus on debut authors. So the idea is that they have a book in the last, like, year and a half, because I feel that's such a pivotal point. You know, we have folks that are on, like, their third, second books, but when you're a debut author, you really need people to help amplify your message. You need help with just visibility. And I thought it was important to just, like, encourage folks that are in the beginning of their careers.
Yeah. Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first of all, to the astrology point, our birthdays are a day apart. We just found out, me and Glory. So there was an astrological match that we did not even know about. We were
pulled
to each other. And I'm deeply a believer in astrology. I read 4 horoscopes before I even get out of bed in the morning. So anyway, I just want to say thank you to Well Read Black Girl, because it was so, of course I was going to say yes, because it's really difficult as a first debut author working with a mainstream press to figure out, how do I reach Black women readers? These are the people who I want to read the book, who I want to read the book. I wrote this book for them. And so how the heck do I get in there to those readers? And so Well Read Black Girl is so important. And it's actually kind of funny because I could never join a book club because I'm a little bit hateful when it comes to, like, if I don't like a book, I don't want to talk to you about why I didn't like it. I just want to, like, move on swiftly to the next thing. So it is perfect for me to come and be invited, but, like, I would probably never join the book club because I have really strong opinions. But I'm just so grateful for the work that you did for me in my career, but also the work that you continue to do for all these other women who come on after me. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, that was really nice. And you kind of just touched on this, but, like, I mean, it's not often that authors would actually participate in something like this, but can you talk about your choice to, like, engage your readers and, like, really try to, like, have this kind of intimate relationship with them?
Yeah.
And just how that's made you feel about your work, even.
Yeah, it's weird. So when I was writing this book, I was writing it as if it were a diary, which is the only way I could finish it. Because it was deeply private, and I was really scared to share it beyond that. And then the book comes out, and so the way that I coped is I was like, well, maybe my mom will read it. In fact, she still hasn't read it yet. but that's fine. Like, she made me rum punch for my book party, and, like, whatever, we cool. But so that's how I was coping with, like, any anxiety I had about the book coming out. And then when the book came out, it was incredible to talk to people about it, because it was as it feels as if someone's talking to you out of the pages of your diary. That's how it felt for this book, because this first one was so close to my heart. And I think what's been so amazing, the book, there are no spoilers coming.
Yeah, no spoilers.
But part of the story is that these two girls, their mother's mentally ill, and they're dealing with the fallout of that. And I'd never read a book like that except for B.B. Moore Campbell's 72-Hour Hold, which is an incredible book about a black family struggling with mental illness. And so I wanted to write about an experience that I had had that I felt like I'd never seen on the page. And so what's been most gratifying is having people say, my dad was schizophrenic, my mother was bipolar, my cousin was bipolar, nobody in my family talked about it. We thought we were the only people who ever lost our mother. We thought we were the only people who were raised by our older siblings. Even Danielle Smith's novel, I'm forgetting the name of it, but that's another novel about sisters, was really important in terms of making possible a certain kind of writing about black girls. Anyway, it's been great. And it was worth the difficulty because I was really ready to give up on this book. Probably about a year and a half into it, I was like living in Iowa City and I was like, why, God, why? I'm from Brooklyn, son. And so let's just say culturally, Iowa City is like not a good fit for me. And so I talked to, there was this black lesbian who was my mentor and she said, your destiny is intact. And if you can't finish this book for yourself, finish it for the people who need to read it. And that's why it kept going on. And so talking to readers has been extremely gratifying because it made it worth it.
That's really cool.
I'm just going to chime in to say exactly that. So this isn't something I often share, but my mother actually went through depression for several years throughout my childhood, and she's a registered nurse who's the same here in your book. It's like the exact same thing, and also first generation. So all these things, like reading it on the page and being able to relate in a way that I was like, this really was like, felt very familiar. Like it was like something that I had never seen in a story, really acted out and beautifully done as well. And my mom's better now, she's doing great. But like when I read it, I was like, oh my gosh, I could like really feel what the characters were feeling.
Yeah. And to me, that's what reading's for, is to feel less alone in your life.
It is.
That's what it's for.
Yeah.
Speaking of reading, Gloria, I have a question for you. So you said that you have been in a book club since you were 8.
Which,
I just went to school, right? I was like, I was just going to school, right? And also, like very few, like, okay, there are a lot of people who love to read, but there are very few, to my mind, you're the only one that I know of, who start book clubs for like dozens of people, and also like try to get the authors to come too, and like it turns into like an internet phenomenon. Like, how did you come to love reading this much?
Oh, that's a great question. I think a little bit of it going back to like this idea of self-learning. So when my mom was ill and I had like a question about something and I couldn't go to my mom and ask her directly, I would go to a book. So it was this, like, and this is like, you know, pre-Google where everyone like Googled something. So if I had a question about something, I would like really like study The Color Purple or like read Audre Lorde or like read June Jordan to have the answers for the things I was like seeking or like learning to learn more about. So it really was a therapeutic thing of like, I might not have the answers in an actual person, not because they're not, they don't want to, because maybe for whatever reason they're not capable to, but I can open up a page of a book and feel better about myself and feel like I can have like confidence in what I wanted to, whatever I want to do. So it became like, I mean, it really became like therapy for me in a lot of ways, so reading these things. And then I feel like when I went to Howard especially, it was like, okay, what kind of adult do I want to be? What kind of like black woman do I want to be? Let me like read this text. It was like really studying self in a lot of ways. And prior to doing that, like, I was reading a lot of, like, Little Women and, like, you know, Judy Plum. Like, I was doing all these things, but I never saw myself. Mm-hmm. So I was, like, reading it and enjoying it, but I was like, that's not really me, you know, but I'm reading all these other texts that don't really represent me. So I don't know. I just was, like, trying to find myself in all these books.
So... Naomi, so like just to kind of come back to the book a little bit, like something that I really like really enjoyed about the book was that like Brooklyn is like kind of as much of a character in the book as Barbados is, even though like much of the action kind of happens like in Barbados. And you also have like a similar duality there as well, as you know, someone who is from Brooklyn who's also, you know, West Indian. Can you talk about like how like your own life experience related to you building that sense of place in the book?
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in Flatbush back in the day when it was all West Indian all the time. And so, I mean, I'm sure there were other kinds of people there, but like literally I did not meet an African-American until I was 12. And so I was like really curious about African-Americans. I'd watch the Cosby Show and I was like, wow, okay. I really had this really deeply, almost claustrophobic cultural experience inside of Brooklyn. And my parents would send us home for the summers, mostly to Antigua, but also to Barbados. I spent one long spring break that was meant to be therapeutic for me and my stepmother because we were fighting. So my father was like, why don't y'all go to Jamaica for 2 weeks and work it out? It actually worked. And so I had had that experience of moving back and forth between Brooklyn and the Caribbean. But the thing is, when I would get to the Caribbean, they'd be like, you're a Yankee, you ain't from here. And they would tease me so bad. I mean, it was horrible. And we went to Vacation Bible School. There's a Vacation Bible School in this. And Vacation Bible School was torture because I had 8 cousins, so there were enough of us to like start a basketball team. And we were all packed into this house, but then we were all different age groups. So then when we got to Vacation Bible School, you were on your own. You know what I'm saying? So you had to, I was like the one weird Yankee kid, and I was like really chubby and funny looking and glasses and the whole nine. And so I wanted to write a book that really reflected that experience of moving back and forth between the Caribbean and the United States. And that question of authenticity always keeps coming up. I mean, even when I go back, I have an Antiguan passport now, and I've spent a whole lot of time in Barbados for family reasons, but also creatively. I did my first book tour in Barbados last summer, but it's still complicated. You know, when I went back to Barbados last time, the first question was like, you not from here? What are you doing writing about here? And I was like, are you aggressive much? But I had my granny, right? So I knew I had a framework for the aggressive Bayesian woman. So I wasn't really offended. I was just like, that's just your face. And so I wanted to write a book that really spoke to that experience because everybody I grew up with was a Caribbean kid who grew up in the United States but felt deeply Caribbean. But then you would go home and people would be like, but you ain't. But I just want to say one more thing, which is that as I grew up, I started to understand the privilege of traveling on an American passport and the privilege of being able to move back and forth, right? And so it wasn't just about like hateful kids, it's about imperialism and colonialism. And, you know, we can get in the travel ban. Let's not go there. But that's why. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
I got one more question for Glory. Your book club does have like an online arm where people like share stuff on Facebook and Instagram, but you guys still meet every month in person.
Yeah.
You know, that's not necessarily convenient. It takes some pre-planning. Yeah. But why is it important to you that everybody meet up in person every month?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is about just having community and being able to talk face-to-face with people. I think that's where the magic really happens. Well, people will exchange their stories. They'll say how the book impacted them. They'll say like how they want to change their own lives. I've had plenty of people that come to a book club or that are writing their own books. So they're studying crafts. There's a lot of resources that exchange in the space. So we basically set it up where the first hour is like a resource share. So people share if they're doing a festival, if they're doing a residency, if they're looking for opportunities in writing. So people can just kind of have an opportunity to connect and build friendships. And then the second half is if the author is available, we'll have the author come in, we'll ask questions directly. So the last book we did was Whatever Happened to Interracial Love by Kathleen Collins. Mm-hmm. So her daughter, Nina Collins, was able to come, which was incredible. And so she told us stories about her mother and how she came to acquire the book and what she's doing with the archives and how she's growing it. So having that close-up contact with the author, like when you came, Naomi, we asked you so many questions about your process and what you're planning to do next, what you're working on next, so we can be there in support. But all those things happen, it's like a sense of solidarity. And I think there's a lot of times people, when you have an internet project, they want to make it about commodity, about how to monetize and get more clicks. I get so many questions about that. And I'm like, that's not my purpose or like the goal. The goal really is the value is in the community and the people and being able to support one another and being able to support the authors that are growing. So, you know, when Naomi has her second book, that we'll be able to, you know, come rally behind her and buy her book and get people to do pre-orders and things like that. Like, if there's money being exchanged, I always want it to be going directly to the author and be able to support their work. And not to, like, undervalue anything I'm doing, but that's not my first goal or intent at all. Like, I really want it to be about making, like, the bright black women writers flourish at all times. And that's where I get my satisfaction from, and I think a lot of the people actually in the book club, too, feel that, you know. But, and I try to make that feeling very transparent online, too. Like, I respond to all the notes, and I share, like, emojis, and because it's all about, like, I try to always say upbeat and, like, affirmative in everything I'm doing, because I don't want this. There's so many other places where you can have negative responses, and when you come to Well Read Black Girl, it's positive. It's like a safe space where you can exchange ideas and meet other women that are like-minded and want to read and grow in the same way. So that's really at the end of it. And we're going to be doing a festival soon.
Hey, look out for that.
So that's coming in September. Like, look out for the Kickstarter campaign. A little thing there. But folks reach out to me all the time just saying thank you. And then sometimes I feel a little awkward. I'm like, for what? But, like, I know why they're saying thank you, but, like, I don't need those accolades. I'm just, like, glad people are, like, excited and want to participate.
That's a beautiful thing to actually kind of start to wrap up with before they start to play us out.
It's like the Oscars. It's just like the Oscars.
Okay. Gotta go.
Exactly. We're wrapping up, but Jenna, we actually like to just, if we could bring you back up on the stage briefly, just so we can say goodbye and thank you. All right. So, Jenna, Gloria, Naomi, we'd like to thank you so much, seriously, yes, for coming on the show. Yes, we really appreciate it. We appreciate you coming out in this weather. We also appreciate all you for coming out in this weather.
Yes.
If you could, just please tell everybody where they can find your work.
I don't know. Find me on Twitter. I'm like, I don't even know where my work is.
You just give me
I'm at Jane Deluxe on Twitter. Oh, and I guess nytimes.com/stillprocessing is our show link as well.
Yes.
You can find me wellreadblackgirl.com and wellreadblackgirl on Twitter, but BLK. Yeah, and Instagram, Well Read Black Girl. Everything is Well Read Black Girl. Just Google that.
My website's www.naomi-jackson.com, and all the handles are at the Naomi Jackson, like the one.
Yes. Also, like the star side of Bird Hill.
Yes, you know, there you exactly.
Go. Yeah. Read it. It's so good, so good, so good. All right, well, thank you so much to the Friends of the High Line for inviting us out here today. Thank you to Adrian and Solana and Oscar, and also to our wonderful DJ, DJ Grandrew,
yes.
Making us look better than we already do. And we also have to say a big thank you to our producer, Bethel Hobte. And thank you guys again so, so much for coming out here today. Everybody, please stay warm. Get warm.
Go get warm.
Go get warm.
Go get warm.
Drink some tea. Drink some coffee. And have a good day.
Yeah.
Get home safe. Thank you guys so much.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.